Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday morning. Tuesday, January the 16th, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour, 8 degrees now here in Marion. Having an interesting conversation this morning about Marion politics and everything that goes on in them. Said I had a message from one of our longtime listeners, Mary, in hour number one. And I wanted to make sure it was okay to read it before we did it on the air, and she said it was okay. I believe that Bill is not speaking because he doesn't want to be questioned. Being the ex-police chief and having power, he's not used to being questioned. I feel he thinks that what he says and does goes. And that's from one of our listeners out there, Mary. And I don't know. You know, I really can't say for sure why Bill has not spoken to the media, because everybody else has, who I think was involved in this at this point. Jason, Miranda, Mayor Schertzer. Beyond that, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think as time goes on, we'll find out. But I certainly would think that at the next city council meeting, which I believe is next Monday, that there are going to be some questions for Bill, at least from Jason Schaber, and possibly from other council members. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on that? We ran out of time there in hour number one. We were on a roll with the calls and thoughts, and we always enjoy that. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on things going on in Marion? Or do you have a guess as to who the groundhog will be coming up on Groundhog Day? Who's going to be Warren Groundhog Harding? Now, this morning, we've already had a guess put in for Mary Ellen. So I believe that brings the count for guesses for Mary Ellen to two. We have Judy and Calvin out in Idaho who've guessed Mary Ellen. Now, I believe two people have guessed Carrington. And I believe two people have guessed Matt. So at this point, it's 2-2 and 2. So we've got Matt, Carrington, and Mary Ellen as the suspected identity of our groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding, coming up on Friday, November, or February. You don't have to wait till November for this. Friday, February the 2nd, starting at 8:15 in the morning. Now, again, we're doing that at 8:15 because we do not want to have any overlap with Buckeye Chuck, which goes on 7 to 8 that morning. So hopefully that Friday morning will be Groundhog Celebration Day here in Marion. That's what we hope. So does anybody have a guess as to who the groundhog might be? 16 days away from this this event coming up on February the 2nd. And hopefully we're going to spruce it up a little more as time goes on. Right now, it will be somebody dressed in a groundhog suit. It will be a groundhog pizza. It will be predictions, weather predictions under the pieces of the pizza. A prize will go to the winner of the person who guesses the identity of the groundhog. A lot of stuff going on, to say the least. But again, the phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Anything going on in your neck of the woods this morning? And again, we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about the Jason Schaber interview on Friday. But as I said in hour number one, if you listen to the Miranda McGinnis interview last Tuesday morning and you listen to the Jason Schaber interview from last Friday, I think more or less they line up. I think. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, Scott.
Good morning from Idaho. What time is it in Idaho right now?
So right now it is 6:05.
6:05. Now, what time do you normally get up in the morning?
So, for work, I clock in at 5:45 in the morning, so I have enough time to pack my lunch and everything. I usually wake up at 4:30, and I've been working out here long enough that even if I forget to set my alarm clock, I just naturally wake up around 4:30.
So what time do you go to bed at night to get up at 4:30?
So, I work 12-hour shifts, so I get off at 5:45, and then get home around 6:15 or so, eat dinner, and then usually I'm done for the day around 9:30 to 10, unless I'm staying up late for work or something.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, what snow-wise, accumulation-wise, we really don't have any accumulation here. We had some snowy roads this morning, but it's just kind of a dusting. Temperature is very cool here, 7 degrees right now, and 0 and 1 degree the last 2 days is how we started the morning. How are the temperatures out there in Idaho right now?
So it's about the same out here. It's about 7 degrees outside. A couple days ago, we got 7 inches of snow overnight, and then later tonight, actually, we're supposed to get another snow anywhere between 7 and 12 inches, they're predicting.
And that's tomorrow night?
Later tonight.
Later tonight.
Yeah.
So now at the paper mill you work at, I saw those pictures this morning. Kind of tell people what happened there.
So right before we got all the snow, the company that provides us with our natural gas had a mechanical issue and had to shut off gas to the valley here while they were fixing the line. And a lot of the processes here at the mill require natural gas because you have, like, the dryer sections and the paper machines and the heaters for the extruders. So we had to shut all that down. And when we shut all of that down, everything started to freeze up. And then yesterday while I was at work, they were trying to get everything started back up, and a whole bunch of water lines around the mill started bursting because they had frozen up, including 2 water lines in my area. I was sitting up in my control shack, and I hear this loud boom, and I look out the window, and underneath the floor, it's just gushing water, and it's starting to flood everywhere. So got that taken care of, and then I had the pipe fitters come out, and while they were fixing my water lines, I hear 3 or 4 other calls go out over the radio of other pipes bursting around the mill. So almost all those pictures that I sent you were taken indoors here, and everything's frozen. So the paper machine can't run because the pipeline that takes the paper, the wood pulp from the back end of the mill up to the machines, completely froze over. And then we have 2 extruders downstairs that take paper and coat it with polyethylene. And part of that machine, there's a idler roll there called a chill roll that has cold water that is pumped through it to cool off the paper. And we had to shut those down because the chill water completely froze up.
Well, it just looks like a mess. And in some of these pictures, I mean, how warm is it inside this plant?
So if all the machines are running with all the heat that they put off, it's usually around anywhere between 90 to 110 degrees inside the building. But with everything being shut down right now, it's probably, I'd have to guess, 50 degrees. I mean, usually I have like short sleeves on and everything, and shorts walking around the mill. But right now I'm wearing jeans and a jacket walking around the mill because it is freezing in here.
Now,
we're shut down.
Now, when the pipes burst, how did it get cool enough below 32 for all this water to freeze on these machines and pipes?
So most of the pipes run against the outside wall of the building, and there's really no insulation, so all that draft and everything's coming through and freezing everything over.
Well, it just looks like a mess, and looks like it's going to take some time to get these things. How do you thaw them out without turning the machines on?
Lots and lots of diesel and propane heaters.
So that's what they're trying to warm the place up right now.
Yeah.
At the moment,
they're guessing we might start up on Wednesday. That's best case scenario, though. But looking at what I'm seeing right now, I'm giving up.
So if no production's going to go on today, what do you do?
So some departments, people get curtailed to other parts of the mill to help out, like plant support, doing other odd jobs like cleanup and stuff. In my department, we're basically sitting around just in case of the off chance that they start up and they need help. And what I'm doing today, so we have a whole bunch of like employee training videos and stuff that we have to complete. So I'm just picking my way through that, I guess.
Now, what exactly do you do at the paper mill?
So, I am a roll line operator. What I do, I take the rolls of paper after they come off the winder, and I wrap them to the customer specifications, either in a paper wrap or stretch wrap, and then get it all prepared before it gets loaded into a rail car or truck before it gets shipped out to the customer.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, it's a tough morning out there, and hey, at least you got us out there this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to call in. Now, your guest for the groundhog, as I understand, because now we've got two people who have guessed Mary Ellen. We're 2-2-2. We've got two people who have guessed Matt. We've got two people who have guessed Carrington. And as of this morning, Judy and yourself, two people who have guessed Mary Ellen. So,
yeah. You
know, it's going to be interesting to see who the groundhog is on February 2nd, 16 days away.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the reveal.
Well, it's going to be exciting. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Did you see the videos we put up last week?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, those were fun, and I think we'll probably do a few more of those. But I'll tell you, it's going to be fun on February 2nd. Does anything big go on out there in Idaho for Groundhog Day?
No, not really.
No big groundhog celebration, huh?
No.
They just figure it's going to be 6 more weeks of winter, so they don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you called in. Is there any other thing you wanted to talk about this morning?
This morning I really got nothing. I'm still about half awake, so I don't really have a whole lot of mental capacity to think quite yet.
Well, no, it's 6:26 out there right now. So we're glad you called in a little after 6 a.m. and gave us an update. And boy, I'll tell you, those pictures were something to see, and glad everybody's safe. But boy, it looks like a mess out there.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be entertaining when they try to start up, because usually if it's been down for a couple days and you're starting to fire the mill back up, there's a whole bunch of things that start breaking and nothing ever runs right at first. So it's going to be quite the show when we fire back up.
Well, you'll have to let us how it goes when the machines are turned back on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah. And I'll keep listening throughout the day, because, I mean, I literally have nothing going on out here.
Well, that's good. Stay with us, and if anything catches your ear, give us a buzz back.
Yeah, I might call in later today if I hear something that catches my attention.
All right. Hey, thanks, Calvin.
Yep.
Calvin, our listener out in Lewiston, Idaho. See, this... you're listening here in Marion. I know a lot of people listening in Marion, a lot of people listening in Columbus, but people listening in Lewiston, Idaho, as well. What do you call that? Is it bi-state? I don't know. We're all over America. Let's put it that way. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And that just shows you the gravity that this groundhog thing has turned into on February the 2nd, that we have a guess coming in from Lewiston, Idaho, as to who the groundhog might be. In any event, still talking about what's going on here in the city. I think it's important at this point. You know, one of the reasons we're giving so much coverage to what's going on here in the city is, number one, we've had a lot of the players on. Mayor Schertzer, Miranda McGinnis, Jason Schauber. Another reason is that there's a news problem in Marion right now where really there's no news in the Marion Star anymore. And I don't really know where people are getting their news. And if people don't get the news anywhere, then it just isn't heard. And that's a big problem. Because people can draw their own conclusions about anything, but at least they should have the information, I would think. So, does anybody have any more thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I know last week, something that kind of interested me is while we were talking about all this, a lot of people seem to feel that I think the term that was used was that there was some disappointment in Mayor Schertzer and Jason Schauber for possibly saying things that people believe not to be true. Now that Jason Schauber has spoken and Mayor Schertzer has sent a statement in, do you feel that maybe what they said was more on the level? Because as I've said, I think this is the third time I've said this morning, if you listen to the Miranda McGinnis interview and you put it up next to the Jason Schauber interview, there's not a whole lot of difference in those interviews. Now, how people might have felt, that's probably a little different. How people interpreted things, that might be a little different. But on the whole, as far as the meetings and what happened and why it happened, that's not too far off. Although, apparently there is some missing meeting between November the 30th and December the 11th that nobody knows about. But I don't know who was even in on that meeting. That's a mystery to everybody at this point, and Jason Schauber really didn't know what happened. So I don't know. I really don't know at this point. So if you got a guess on the groundhog or want to comment on anything going on in the city, give me a buzz here. 740-751-4038, and of course, never necessary to give your name or anything like that. We just like to hear your opinion on what's going on. It's a fascinating bit of city government. And it's also fascinating because being a layoff this week because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, nothing's going to happen until next Monday. So what will happen between today and next Monday? Will any resolution come from anything that has happened? How's it all going to shake out? That's the big question. So again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, also questions this morning. How are you doing this morning out there in the cold weather? How are things in your neck of the woods? Are things okay? Obviously, in Idaho, they're having some freezing issues over at the paper mill. Hopefully, nothing like that going on here right now. Interesting to hear what's going on around the country. And again, the groundhog guesses right now, we've really only had three. Well, we've had six guesses, but we've had three people offered as guesses, we should say. Mary Ellen Withrow, Matt Morgan, and Carrington Nelson. Those are the guesses as to who will be under the groundhog suit. Warren Groundhog Harding on February 2nd. Now, at 8:45 is when the groundhog will do its prediction. But the program that morning will start at 8:15. And I think we're going to have some more things involved in that than just the groundhog at this particular point and the pizza. But we'll announce that as time goes on. Who will the groundhog be? You know, it's kind of interesting that out in Lewiston, they really don't have any groundhog celebration out there. So we have to be celebration for them at this particular point. We've got to help them along in their groundhog celebration. All right. Well, that's pretty much where I am this morning with the agenda of things that I wanted to talk about. So again, if anybody has any thoughts on any of this, now would be the time to call in. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Things going on with the city council and the mayor and the auditor. You know, the point that I was bringing up before the break about this whole auditor situation, you know, again, whether or not you feel she should be in that position or not, I think that's certainly something people can talk about. Do you feel she was treated properly? You know, that's something you certainly can talk about. But this whole thing with the transit department is very interesting because at this point, and we don't have a definitive answer on this, so I can't say for sure either way, but it seems like there's a lot of scuttlebutt, there's scuttlebutt, today's word, going on about was the transit department, is it still going to be around as it is today? Because apparently there was some issue with the grant that funds the transit department. And Jason Schauber has said this. So it was brought up in the city council meeting last Monday. Were they sent, because this is the position they had offered Miranda, director of transit. Were they sending her there so they could eliminate the position? Now, I don't want to say fire her, but that's an at-will position, so it's not elected. So she could be let go from that position. So was the idea to get her out of an elected position so they could just let her go? I don't know. It's hard to say. I think it's very interesting. Do you have any thoughts on that? 740-751-4038. And there is also one more bit here, if I can find it. Jason Schauber had sent me something on Friday, I believe it was. And it was a letter that had went out to people. If I can pull it up here, we'll discuss it. But again, if anybody has anything to say on this whole transit offer, was that the right thing to do? Was that on the level? Seems like people don't like that Miranda's family and housing situation and personal life, I guess is what we would say, were brought into this situation. That does not seem to have gone over well with anybody. But it is what it is. Now, here's the letter from December the 12th. Now, this letter was sent to Marion City Council members and members-elect about the resignation of Auditor McGinnis. Now, I'm going to read this as we have it, and people can discuss it as they will. Good morning, council members and members-elect. I thought it important to follow up with you after last night's meeting. I first and foremost want all of you to know that keeping you informed and having an open line of communication with all of you is of the utmost importance to me and my upcoming administration. Even though we are from two different branches of government, I feel it is incumbent upon us to work together for the betterment of our community and the moving forward of our city. After several conversations with Auditor McGinnis, she made her own decision to resign her position effective January 5th, 2024. As such, it will be my responsibility to find a qualified replacement for our Marion City Auditor, who will be in place until the general election of 2025. When that position will be placed on the ballot once again, I feel that this, with this selection and the implementation of the Director of Budget Management position, we will make great strides in remedying our financial crisis. However, it will take all of us working together to that end. During these discussions, Auditor McGinnis expressed her desire to fill a position that will be vacant when I take office on January 1st, 2024. This position is that of the transit director, who is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the Marion Area Transit System and the 30 or so employees who work for that department. I feel that it is the right step for the city to allow McGinnis an opportunity to show that she is able to manage a much smaller department with far fewer responsibilities, and allow her to prove that she is up to this responsibility. I had advised her that when I am able to officially make the appointment, I would do so, and we would monitor and evaluate her to run this department moving forward. The position would have gone unfilled, and we would not have had someone in this place to manage the facility beginning January 1st, 2024. We are on a path to managing our way out of this unprecedented situation in our auditor's office, and I ask for your support and insight to move forward to this positive conclusion. The people of Marion have entrusted their vote to elect me to the position of mayor, and I will do what is incumbent on me, and that is to provide the leadership to see that our city moves forward to a better place. Okay, again, I am only a phone call, text, or email away if you have any questions. Please reach out, and I will do the same. Thank you, Mayor-elect Bill Collins. Now, remember, that note came out on December 12, 2023, the day after Auditor McGinnis resigned. Now, two interesting points in this letter are in the second paragraph. After several conversations with Auditor McGinnis, she made her own decision to resign her position effective January 5, 2024. Now, if you listen to the interview last week, I don't think she feels that's what happened. Now, again, you could go back and listen, and if you listen to the interview, do you think that she made her own decision? Now, the other point in here, during these discussions, Auditor McGinnis expressed her desire to fill a position that will be vacant when I take office January 1st. That position is that of transit director. Now, I think Miranda said that position offer was brought to her. And I also think Jason Schauber said in that meeting that happened on December 11th, which would have been the day before this letter was written, that Martin Watts says to Mayor-elect Collins at that point, is the deal still good? So I don't know. Is that letter on the up and up? It's hard to say because we haven't heard from Bill, but I certainly would think that anybody who heard the Miranda McGinnis interview or the Jason Schauber interview might think that that letter is not necessarily totally accurate. But again, maybe they both are accurate at this point. I don't really know. That's what makes this so confusing, is who is saying what and why don't these stories match up? All right, 41 minutes past the hour here. If anybody has anything to say, again, the phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. We always love hearing from you. The discussion is important. And what do you think? Do you think that letter sent out by Mayor-elect Bill Collins on December the 12th matches up to what Jason Schauber and Miranda McGinnis said last week on this show? Miranda on Tuesday and Jason on Friday. Well, we just got another message from our friend Calvin out here in Idaho. Speak of the devil, I just lost another pipeline. So more problems out there in Lewiston, Idaho, because of the sub-freezing temperatures and pipes bursting in the paper mill that he works for. I don't know. You know, everything's to me at this point. And the bottom line of this whole thing, wouldn't it be good if we just got to the bottom of what went down and what's going on in the auditor's office and where we are, where do we go from here? As I still have to say, I give a lot of credit to Miranda for coming on last week and telling her story. Again, whether you believe it or don't believe it, she had the guts to do it, and that's an open communication with the media. And I certainly say the same thing for Jason Schaber and Mayor Schertzer at this point. So it's important to hear from people. And I really do believe that hearing from them in this format, the interview format, the radio format, is far more important because we don't edit these interviews. What they say is what they say. And they get a chance to tell their story. It's a little different in print on the internet or when it used to be in the newspaper, because whoever's writing the story kind of sets the agenda for what's going on. Now, I'm not saying they purposely changed the story or anything of that nature, but if you sit down with somebody, obviously you can't write word for word what they are saying if they're talking to you for any length of time. So the newspaper just chooses, or internet sites, chooses the quotes that they want to use. So it's a little different. But anyway, here we are, 15 minutes to go. Does anybody have any thoughts on this kerfluffle? As that's what I call it. Maybe that's the word of the day today. Kerfluffle. It's a whole kerfluffle going on in the city. And as the caller said in hour number one, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in the city auditor at this point, but also feels that she should not have been treated in the way that she was treated. Now, again, that's an opinion, and I think really that's just where we are at this point, is Opinion City, because there are still some missing pieces to these stories. But that being said, that's why we leave the phone lines open here in case you'd like to call in. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, guesses on the groundhog so far: Carrington, Mary Ellen, and Matt. Also, don't forget, Friday Night Live, every Friday night, 8:15 to 10 p.m. on this station, Carrington, Matt, Sean, and myself. And every Friday morning now, Matt Morgan, 10:15 until 11 a.m. Pastor Craig, 11:15 to 12 p.m. Exchange Club with Pastor Craig, Matt, and myself, 12:15 to 1. And Pastor Craig from 1:15 until 2. All right. That's where we are at this point. So, any questions? 740-751-4038. I got a message there, and it kind of diverted my attention for a second, but I'm back with it now. Okay. Well, let's see. What else could we talk about this morning? Well, yesterday morning, we were having the discussion about Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I found that to be a very interesting discussion, because the I Have a Dream speech was written and recited by Martin Luther King Jr. about 60 years ago. And the question was, how would Martin Luther King Jr. feel today if he was here? Would he think that we have reached our potential that he was setting forth in the I Have a Dream speech? And did he think it would take 60 years plus? I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. Yesterday we were talking about Miss America. You know, Sunday night was Miss America, and do people still watch that? On Sunday night, Madison Marsh from Colorado, Miss Colorado, was crowned Miss America. She's the first active Air Force officer ever crowned Miss America. Good for her. Congratulations. And I believe the second runner-up was from Indiana, and the third runner-up was from Kentucky, states that border Ohio. Now, Ohio wasn't in there, but you know what? We're glad for the surrounding states that got in there here in the Midwest, and certainly for Miss Colorado, Madison Marsh. But the question about Miss America essentially is, they call it a scholarship pageant now, and I'm sure they do a lot of great work when it comes to scholarships, but is it still a beauty pageant, which is what they were called for so long? If you were not particularly good looking, if you were overweight, could you get in these pageants? Would you win? You know, it's interesting when you go down the categories. As I said yesterday, they still have evening gown, and they still have the talent competition, and they still have Miss Congeniality and all that. But what used to be the swimsuit competition has been taken out and replaced with fitness, the fitness category. But if you see a picture of the girls who were competing in the fitness category, you know, they certainly were not covered up. So is it really any different than it ever has been? And are these things good? You know, there was a conversation for a long period of time. Should we have competitions like Miss America and Miss USA? Do we put too much interest and emphasis on how people look? Is this good in society? I don't know. It's an interesting question. If you have any thoughts on it, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. On this Tuesday, January the 16th, 2024, 8 degrees here in Marion, 50 minutes past the hour, 10 minutes left to go. If you've been thinking about saying something all morning, now would be the time to do it. We're getting to that point in the program where it would be forever hold your peace if you don't say anything at this particular point. But again, Miss Colorado walks away with it. You know, interestingly enough, I said yesterday that I did not hear anything about Miss America until the newspapers and the internet sites yesterday morning. But some things did come up. Oh, I think we're getting a call here. Let's go to the phones. All right, go ahead, caller.
I think the groundhog will be Sean.
So you're going to put down a guess. All right, another guess. A guess for Sean. Now, what do you think of the guesses so far? Mary Ellen, Carrington, Matt, you think those are good possibilities?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
So Sean
you
is...
Let me see. How can I put this delicately?
Oh, go ahead.
You need a sturdy is the word I'm going to select. You need a sturdy person to hold up that big old costume.
A sturdy person?
Sturdy.
You don't think that Mary Ellen and Matt or Carrington might be sturdy?
No.
Not sturdy enough for the groundhog.
And listen, I'm not trying to like get on your bad side because I know this is your show and you run it. But do you remember the other day when you made the comment about transit people need to get a little bit more vocal and like about what's going on?
You know, I really don't, but I might have. I'm not saying I didn't.
Yeah, I can't. And this is the thing that's aggravating because I can't remember verbatim how you put it, but I was listening. I couldn't call in because I was working, but I thought that, like, I almost had a how dare you moment then, because I mean, if you rock the boat too hard, you might fall out, Scott. Who wants that?
Oh, no, and I guess if I did say comment, and again, I'm not sure what context I would have said it under, I think what happened was that at the city council meeting, because obviously the question was asked. It was no secret that the question was asked, are our jobs safe?
And I asked that. So
right.
I guess that's why I took offense, because I thought, wait a minute, that took every ounce of courage I had to get up there and ask that question.
Oh, and absolutely. You should be proud to do it? Because I think that was the question that should be asked. I think what happened...
Yeah, because I have a friend that was on city council for 22 years, and he said not even to go to the meeting. I not only went to the meeting, but I spoke, and that took every ounce of courage I had.
Right. Well, and I think it was the sequence of events that happened after. I think it was when the mayor said, your job is safe, and then that seemed to calm everybody down. But then when Second Ward Councilman Ratliff said, I'm not satisfied with that answer. Are you going?
I know, and I know that you don't like to be interrupted, but I'm going to do it anyway because, hey, it's me.
Go ahead.
There was one of my coworkers that said, we're satisfied with his answer. And I thought, how dare you say we, because you don't speak for me. And kudos to you, Councilman Ratliff.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what I was speaking about, because I do understand that there's an issue. I mean, you guys work for Marietta Transit. I can see why that would be a pressured situation to be asking those questions. I just think the sequence...
Yeah, I mean, he told Miranda to keep her mouth shut.
Well, there you go. But, you know, it just to me, what happened there was when Ayers Ratliff was trying, I think, to speak on your guys' behalf.
Yeah, and then you had lips in the background. Now, we're satisfied with his answer. I thought, do you mouth in your pocket?
Right.
Continue.
And I think Ayers Ratliff was trying to pressure Bill into saying, what does that mean today, tomorrow?
Yeah, he was on a fine job until Lips McGee back there spoke up.
Well, so that would probably be what I was speaking of, because I think Ayers Ratliff, because I remember even Ayers after that happened said, well, if they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like having a Homer Simpson moment, like, don't.
Right. So I guess my feeling on that was the reason maybe Marion Area Transit needs to put a little more pressure in this position is because I think that probably could have been followed up better. If Ayers Ratliff has heard these rumors and Jason Schauber has heard these rumors and Bill was not...
Well, according to Crime Chronicles, the whole city of Marion's heard these rumors.
Exactly. So, you know, was he
and
lying?
And that leads me to my next point. I know you're the interviewer, but I'm going to ask you a question. And by the way, thanks for going through that with me and clarifying your point of view. And that's what good friends do. They ask questions and clear the air, right?
Do you feel better about it now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So how do you think that John Q. Public is going to be affected if something happens to this transit? Because it seems like transit is just, you know, I'll throw whoever you want to in there to be the administrator. You know, it's just one step up from dog catcher. Any imbecile could run that office, and it's just transit. Do you not think there will be an uproar if something happens to transit? We provide a very important service to this community.
I do, but honestly, from what I've talked to people, here's what and again, I'm not the mayor, and I'm not city council, and I don't make these decisions, but it's my understanding that even if it merged with a private company or a public company, and as soon as I say this, and this doesn't happen, somebody will be on me. But it's my understanding...
Guess what? They're going to be on you no matter what.
Right, so why not say it? It's my understanding that Marion Area Transit, the drivers and the buses and what's done, would not change. What would change...
Well, the reason why and I just applaud your patience, because I think that we're up to count number like 5 or 6 now.
That's an important
Thanks
issue.
For that, Scott.
It's an important
but
issue.
Time doesn't allow for etiquette. But well, someone said, didn't you read a little thing off of, because I don't get on social media, but didn't you rattle something off about the person put on the Crime Chronicles that the fare would possibly go up or something?
I don't think I did. I read something off Crime Chronicles about the Republican mate, and again, this is not me saying it. This is what somebody sent me from Crime Chronicles about the Republican mayor and the Republican city council are trying to get rid of transit, call the mayor and call the city council. But it's my understanding what would happen would be the drivers and the buses would stay intact and the routes would stay intact. It would just become run by another, merged with another county or a private business. It would be those positions like director.
That's why it's good that we have these talks, because like you said, when there's a news vacuum and when people are being tight-lipped, then it leaves people to speculate and worry and imagine, and I would like to deal on facts, before I deal in fear.
Right, right. And I think at some point, and I do understand why it's hard to go up in front of the mayor and ask that question, but also...
You're darn tootin'. Right, I just bought a new car Friday.
Well, right. But also, I would also say...
That was the part where you were supposed to say congratulations.
Oh, what kind of car?
A soccer mom minivan.
There you go. Well, that you can haul us all around when we need ride places.
Yes, I can. Well, you've been going to take a trip in the bus for the longest time and ain't never... Are you scared?
Listen, the groundhog might need a trip on the bus on February 2nd. It could be coming up quicker than you think. But
Sean, because that's who you're going to put in that costume.
We shall see. But it's interesting because, and I understand that it takes a lot of guts, and I understand, but I also
understand. I'm proud of myself.
But I also would say this. The mayor and the city council, and I think they would say this, are public employees as well. They are put there with the trust of the people, and to question them should never put anybody's job in jeopardy. And
I'm not implying that it is or isn't, but, you know, it's in the back of your mind, like, maybe I should just listen to everyone and keep my mouth shut.
Well, and also...
But I wanted to get up there and talk in the beginning of the meeting because... But I just kept my trap shut, but I wanted to be like, as the mom of one of these drug addicts, they're not good enough to live on Cortland. They're not good enough to live on Merchant. What avenue do we put on? Because they're people, and you kind of can't, like, wad people up like a piece of paper and throw them away. So where do we put them?
That was an interesting conversation as well. But with 50 seconds left to go, what I would say, if the mayor did not give correct information, and clearly Ayers Ratliff felt he didn't, and Jason Schauber said that on Friday morning, I think Jason Schauber, and I'm paraphrasing here, said on this show on Friday morning, I wouldn't have said that. I wish the mayor wouldn't have said that. If he gives you incorrect information, I certainly think it's fair to say, wait a second, what was that?
Well, that's why, hey, listen, with like 10 seconds to go, that's why we count on you, old Scotty Bird Dog Spears.
And I'm still here for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and we will continue to talk as the sands in the hourglass continue on. We'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears for This Day.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell with it.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.